Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Stacey is with me on the line today because, Stacey, you got in touch. You sent in an email regarding your daughter, Kayla. What happened?
My daughter, Kayla, is over three now. She's three since June. When she was born with complex issues, medical issues, a heart condition, kidney disease, and she's cleft lip and palate. That was fine. She was born stable. We were doing and her surgeries, her future surgeries. She became quite critically unwell within 2 weeks of being born. And 2 weeks later, she was rushed in for emergency cardiac surgery. Within hours of that surgery, she suffered a stroke. And within days of that stroke, she suffered a second stroke. Since then is when this journey began for us. We spent 7 months in hospital in the beginning. We got her home then. She was 7.5 months old, I'd say, at that point. And referred to CDNT for community support and interventions. And it's just been non-existent. In the beginning, they were there, but the more time that went on and the more difficult that she presented, all I was faced with was the answer, she's so complex, that they don't know what to do. But that's not good enough. She's getting no care. And like, we see everything going on with school places, there's no school places, the spinal surgeries, people on waiting lists, and a lot, what people don't realise is the people waiting to even get on them waiting lists, so them numbers don't even reflect that. There's no interventions, there's no therapies. But then the disability side and the medically complex families are just left. We're ignored and we're begging and pleading for help and interventions and equipment and get equipment fixed and reviewed. Like, our kids are growing every 6 months. My daughter is outgrowing everything within 6 months.
So Kayla's what age now, Stacey? She's three, is she?
She's three since June, yeah.
Okay, so, and at the moment, is she still in the care of, is she still in hospital care or has she been discharged?
Well, she is, yeah. We're, like, even today now, we're off to clinic again, but we're seen in the hospital kind of every 3 months more if she ends up being admitted. She's under the care of CDNT, she's under the care of CRC. We're quite involved with her neurodisability team. Like, she has a huge amount of input, but we're not getting enough intervention. So we're not getting enough therapies. I go private for most of her therapies because if I don't, she doesn't get anything.
She doesn't get it.
But the part of this that I can't provide is equipment. Like, I can't fund everything. Equipment-based, thousands upon thousands. Like, Kayla's equipment to date, she has a safety cot. We had to fight for that. The only way Kayla got that safety cot was because it fell out of her cot and Anne Rabbit stepped in. And within weeks, we had a safety cot on our door. It shouldn't have taken that long. It shouldn't. Like, that's proof in itself that it was able to be done. It shouldn't have taken for my daughter to fall
out of the cot for a safety cot to be got. And that's why you got in touch with us, Stacey, because there's a particular issue. There's a particular issue with Kayla's disability buggy. Just explain what that is, first of all, to listeners.
She has a special needs buggy. It's posture support in it. She has certain harnesses to keep her safe in it and even certain accessories like tables and the pommel, and it just keeps her supported and safe and it grows with her. So we first applied for this buggy back in April 2023. The application didn't go forward and I found out about this in September. Then they renewed the application and put another one in October. And we didn't receive the buggy until May the following year. The day it arrived, I noticed something wasn't right with it and I contacted the team and we've had five engineers out to our house stating it's faulty, there's something wrong with it.
And who approves this buggy, Stacey?
It was through CDNT.
And who are they? Is that through the HSE?
Oh, so it's the Children's Disability Network team, so they're through the HSE.
Through the HSE. So the HSE, for young children like Kayla who have, you know, as you describe it, as sort of multiple complex needs, in order for Kayla to be able to live independently and at home with you and the family, she requires this disability buggy to get out and about. And I'm just looking at a picture of it here. So it's sort of, I suppose, a cross between a wheelchair nearly and a large pram, really, isn't it?
Yeah. That's it, exactly. And it just keeps her safe. Like, it's a better quality of life if she's supported like that. She's able to be included. She's safe. And it's an appropriate seating for her to grow in. So then her posture doesn't decline. Like, it took us 14 months to get the buggy in our door. And it's 17 months now we are waiting for this buggy to be replaced. I only found out last week buggy has been in the country 6 weeks, 7 weeks now, and it's going to be a further 2 weeks before we get it. And even when we get this new replacement buggy, there's accessories missing. We don't have the special harness she needs to keep her safe. We don't have the pommel to keep her upright. We don't have a table so she can participate in school activities or in therapies. So, and like, they should have been ordered a long time ago, but no, we'll wait till we get the buggy. And not only that, she actually needs an assessment for her wheelchair now because she's growing so fast, and that assessment is fast approaching, but we have no date. We're waiting, and we were promised a Seton assessment clinic for February 2025. Mm. We've not been given a date.
So, Stacey, the pram buggy or the disability buggy that Kayla now has after waiting 14 months to get, you've had five engineers out to assess that because there's elements of that that are broken, and you're now still waiting to get the new disability buggy.
Yeah, and we're waiting 17 months for this replacement buggy. And like, the buggy that she's in now, it's only safe because the last time the engineer came out, they kind of, not jammed it, but fixed it in a certain way that it moves less firmly, but it's safe and it's not going to collapse on her. The mechanism was faulty. They replaced the mechanism with this carbon fibre mechanism. So like, all these call-outs cost money. All these parts that they're replacing cost money. When we knew since day one, the buggy didn't suit. The buggy was faulty. The buggy wasn't right. But
so you've been told from by the HSE that there is a new buggy on its way.
There's a new buggy in the country, and it's been in the country 7 weeks now. But yes, like, I even offered to drive to Dublin to collect it myself. But no, we need to wait for the engineers to bring it down. And they have to get a proper appointment, and the physio has to be there, and they all have to be available. This is an urgent request, and this is something we are waiting for years.
And when you've got back on
needs.
When you've got back on to the HSE about the fact that this is sitting there for 7 weeks and that you yourself have offered to, you know, to try and to drive to Dublin, Stacey, to collect it and get all of the logistical teams in place, what response have you got from them?
I was told it was on the way. I was told that I was given a date for an appointment then. But like, it's not good enough. Like, we've been fighting for basics, for literally the basics, not luxuries, not extras, just the tools my daughter needs to live safely and with dignity. Every week we're waiting for something new, a piece of equipment, an appointment, a referral, while my child is left in pain and at risk. We're waiting for her helmet over a year. We're waiting for her DMO suit, which is a Lyme suit that helps with her posture and sensory input. We actually got two of those. So when we first ordered the first one about a year and a half ago, the whole process took 6 months for the assessment, the application, the funding, the measurements, the whole lot. And then we got it 6 months later. She was outgrown it. And that happened a second time, a 6 month process. So that was a waste of money, a waste of two garments, and a waste of a year.
And presumably, I mean, she's a growing child, as you say, Stacey, like at 3 years of age. The wheelchair that she's waiting to get that's in the country for the last 7 weeks, she's likely, I mean, sure, she'd nearly need to get measured for the next one now.
Yeah, because we have that special needs buggy at home at the minute. We're just replacing the exact same one. So when this comes, she's going to be outgrown. Her head is nearly coming out the top of it. Like, no one should have to beg for care. Yet here I am, begging for the most basic supports that should be automatic for any child with complex needs. I have told CDNT straight out, what if I went public with this? How would it look? Three-year-old child with cerebral palsy denied a wheelchair. It goes, how would that look to me? It doesn't look good, but that's the reality of it. That's what's happening to us. We're being denied basic rights. We're being denied a quality of life for my daughter.
And did the HSE respond to that?
No, I just get told, we'll get an update, we'll look into it, I'll get an update. Yeah. I never do. Like, I feel my daughter is so complex, she's too complex for them. But she's all, like, and even that's the answer I get back. Oh, well, she's so complex, her needs are so complex, they're changing so much, but they can't keep up with the first basic needs of her life. Like, an AAC device is a basic need for any child. There is no criteria to meet for a child to be accepted for an assessment for a device. And I didn't know this until recently. I was told last October my daughter was on a waiting list for an AAC device. Only recently I kind of spoke up about it because she suffers in pain with her medical issues a lot, and her voice isn't being heard because she doesn't have a voice. I speak up for her, but I'm not always heard. So I've been pushing for this device, and I looked into it, and there's a Disability Act there. There's a legislation there that states there is no criteria to meet for a child to be assessed for a device. They're sent to the clinic, they're assessed for this device, and then it's depending on how they get on in the clinic with the device is depending on whether they're ready for it or not.
And that's why you're with us here and you've reached out to us at Lunchtime Live today to highlight this issue, Stacey. Look, we'll certainly contact the HSE on your behalf to see if there is any update with the disability buggy that's in the country, as you say, for the past 7 weeks. But if yeah. the minister responsible for disabilities happens to be listening to us
here
today.
I have reached out to everyone and it's fallen on deaf ears. Anytime I have emailed everyone, CC'd everyone, my emails are acknowledged. They're kind of sometimes depending on the crisis and depending on the level of crisis is whether it'll get passed to, from pillar to post. I have reached out to my local TDs as of recently. I posted something on my Instagram story. I tagged a lot of TDs and ministers in it. Some of them saw it and they ignored it. One person reacted with a love heart. That's not good enough. Not one of them have reached out to me. I've reached out to so many of them, local ones, given them all my daughter's personal information, and they have ignored us time and time again, and I'm just tired of it now.
What
we can't live like this because she's no quality of life.
What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Dungarvan, County Waterford.
Waterford, okay. And how is Kayla day to day?
Day to day is completely different. Like, at the minute now, we're battling. She is losing the ability to swallow. So she had speech and language input, very, very minimum. I've ended up having to go private myself. She's meant to have FEDS input, which is a feed and eat and drink and specialist clinic. She didn't get that on time. I had to stop feeding her because she was showing signs of aspirating. So since January, she has not been able to eat anything orally. Now, she wasn't able to fully eat a meal or anything. She's completely peg fed. But because of the lack of input, she is declining more and more each week. She's now at the point where she's not tolerating her secretions and is choking on her secretions.
It must be very tough, Stacey.
It's something different every week. It's a battle every week and I'm picking and choosing which one, right, what do I deal with this week? What will I deal with next week? Okay, who do I need to email today? Like, my weekends are consumed with catching up with what I have to battle for the next week. And I don't, my job as her carer is to be her carer and her mum. And I want to be her mum more than a carer. Like, we do have nurses here, but I feel like I'm her case manager and I'm
going to say her administrative support, you know, and that's why when I got your email, we said we had to chat to you here on the show today. Well, look, Stacey, I'm certainly happy we'll send an email on your behalf to the HSE to see if there is any update regarding the disability buggy that is in the country for the past 7 weeks. You're just waiting to get it to County Waterford and we'll see if there is any update. But look, please do keep in touch with us and thanks a million, Stacey, for reaching out to us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insuranceBroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.